and he keeps me singing as I go. Well, this morning we're going to jump back out of John for a minute again this morning, and we're going to go to the book of Philippians, and we're going to kind of look at verses 6 through 9, and Lord just kind of put this on my heart. We were singing all the songs this morning that talked about it, about how we can take every care to Him, and this is a great section of Scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, we look at verse 4, and Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And then he says, "Let your meekness, your gentleness, your graciousness, your forbearance be known." And then he goes on to talk about being anxious. And I know sometimes we get anxious. I know I do sometimes. We all do. But the Bible says that to worry is sin. Did you know that? Because guess what? Jesus said that we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry. He said over there in Matthew chapter 6, and you know what the bad thing about it is every single one of us do it, don't we? You know, they did a poll one time, and they said that they you know, asked people what they worried about, and somehow or another they figured out that 90% of what we worry about never happens. 90% of what we worry about never happens. Means that only about 10% of what we worry about actually does happen. I guess we just don't need to worry. We need to put everything in the hands of the Lord. He said over in Matthew 6 that we didn't have to worry. Don't be anxious, that your Heavenly Father will take care of you, and that He knows every hair on your head. And if He takes care of the little birds, then won't He for sure take care of us, right? And so today, I want to just read verses 6 through 9 in Philippians chapter 4. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you." So Paul, remember the setting of the book of Philippians. The setting in the book of Philippians is that Paul is locked up into prison. He's under house arrest. He actually writes 7 of the 13 books that he writes while he's locked up in prison. He writes 3 of them the last time when he's locked up, and that's actually when they kill him. But the first time, this is the first time, he was locked up about 2 years in Rome. And, by the time you add it all up, he was probably locked up at least 3 or 4 years, because he was over in Jerusalem for a period of time, too. And they wouldn't let him loose over there. And then he finally goes to Rome. But he's under house arrest. And I think the theme of Philippians is that we have strength through Christ no matter what. Because Paul says in verse 13, I guess, of this chapter, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," right? I can do all things, not just some things. Now, he's not talking about being able to jump over a 10-story building or anything like that. He's just talking about being able to go through anything in life, because he says before that, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in. I know how to be abased, to have nothing, to be mistreated. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I've learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So he basically says that no matter what the situation, whether it's a tough spot, it's a good spot, I got plenty, I got nothing, I'm hungry, I'm full, whatever it is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know, that's the lesson for us. As Jesus went through everything in His life, and as we get probably back next week in the back of the book of John, remember we're in Jesus' last few days headed to the cross. He's within 5 or 4 days of heading to the cross, right? And yes, He has agony. Yes, He has worry. He has things going on. But you know what He does? He gives them to the Father. His soul's troubled. And our soul's troubled sometimes. We just have such deep things going on sometimes. Such hard things that life deals us. But God knows everything. And so Paul wants to let us know that even though he's locked up in prison, kind of the theme of this book is really joy in Christ no matter what. You know, endurance in Christ, joy in Christ, because the word joy is used a bunch of times, but the word in Christ is used so many times. And so he wants to know that it's through Christ we can have joy, we can have peace, we can have the abundant life, no matter what the situation we're in. And I think most of us, we're not locked up in a physical prison worried about whether we're going to be taken out and killed by the Roman guard right this minute. But maybe we're worried about something else in our life. You know, sometimes I tell people, some people aren't locked up in a physical prison, but sometimes they're locked up in the prison of a sickness or a disease or a bad situation or something that's tough going on. You know, some of you are locked up in bodies that don't work exactly like they used to, right? And sometimes you feel like you just want to get out and do something different. And sometimes it bothers you and worries you. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing. And that word anxious means to strangle. It means to literally to pull apart, to strangle. You know, I think about in the old days, remember the old cowboy movies? I guess they still show that. And the way the cowboys, a lot of times when they wanted to really abuse somebody, they either drug them behind a horse, or else they'd tie one end of them to a horse and one end to the other horse, and they'd try to pull them apart. Well, you know what? That's really what this word anxious means. It means to be pulled apart, to be pulled in two different directions at the exact same time. And that's hard to do, right? I mean, you know, when you're anxious, what happens? You can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't do anything, you can't think. Everything goes crazy, right? I don't know about y'all, but when I get worried about something and it really bothers me, I don't know if it's just me or y'all think I'm crazy after today, but when I think about something that really bothers me, my stomach kind of knots up and I almost get like a feeling like almost like an electrical jolt or something. It just kind of shoots through my body. And it just feels like, everything just tightens up and I just feel like this jolt shoots through my body and it's a bad feeling. You wake up in the morning, the first thing you think about is that thing, right? All day long you think about it. You go to bed, you can't sleep about it. Wake up in the middle of the night and you think about it. Wake up in the morning, you think about it. You can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't do anything. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious about anything. The old King James says, be careful for nothing. That was a good translation back in the day because careful meant don't be anxious. But he's not saying, you know, he just means you don't have to worry about anything. But he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So why don't we have to worry? Number one, we don't have to worry because guess what? God's still on the throne. Do you know that? He's still up there and he's not looking now. Oh no, what are we going to do now? Look what happened to Marty. Look what happened to so-and-so. Look what happened to them. What are we going to do now? He knows everything that goes on in our life. He knows it. Sometimes he allows these things to happen. And James says that count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that trials produce strength and endurance and maturity. And he says, let those trials have their perfect work so that you can become the person that God wants you to be. So sometimes God allows things in our life because we've talked about that before. What don't kill us makes us stronger. And that's what the Bible says, that God works all things together for good to them that love Him, to those that are His saved. They work together for good because God is making us more like Him, so we don't have to worry. But you know why we worry? Because we don't think God is in control, or we don't think God can handle it, or we just don't understand sometimes the sovereignty of God, or sometimes we just, I don't know, sometimes we get tired and we get in a spot and we just worry. You know, and I do it too, but the Bible says we shouldn't do it. Because we don't need to, because God is still on the throne. And there's nothing that comes to us that happens in this life that doesn't first pass through His sovereign will. And if the old saying, if He brings you to it, He'll do what? Bring you through it, right? That's what Isaiah 43 says. I will be with you when you pass through the fire or through the waters. They shall not overflow you. I will be with you when you pass through the fire. It will not burn you, nor will it scorch you. When Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael, the same guys, their Hebrew names, were thrown into fire, who was in the fire with them? He said, I see one like the Son of God. God was in the fire, right? The old footprints in the sand, there was one set of footprints, and when things got two sets of footprints, and then when things got really tough, what happened? There was only one. And the guy says, well, why'd you leave me, God? He says, that's when I carried you. And so that everything that happens, if it happens, God says He's working it all together for good. And so, yes, we get sick. Yes, we have bad things happen. But He wants to use those things in our lives to make us better people. Sometimes He uses those sicknesses. We go to the doctor and we're a saved person, and the doctor won't, and he don't understand how we're going through what we're going through and acting like we're acting, you know? Because maybe we're counting it all joy. We're rejoicing in the Lord always. And he says, well, how come you got such a good attitude and, you know, and you're going through all this? I want to know about how you do that, you know? And like I said, we all fail. We all mess up. And there's times we go through that we struggle for a while and times get tough. And then, you know, there comes a place where you can just give things to God. And that's what he says here. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is just general requests. Supplication is specific requests. But he says also with thanksgiving. Now, why do you think God, when you pray to Him, anybody in here get all their prayers answered? I don't. And, you know, it's a good thing I don't a lot of times, right? Because who knows better than we do? God. And, you know, sometimes He doesn't answer prayers the way we want them answered, because guess what? He has a better answer, a better solution, right? And that's what He did with Lazarus. Remember, instead of healing Lazarus before he died, what did he do? He waited till he died and was 4 days in the grave, because he wanted to show them how great he really was and how awesome he really was. So he had a better plan, a bigger purpose. And so he says, in everything, just the littlest things, we give everything to God in prayer, right? And then what the song says, oh, what needless sorrow, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we don't take everything to God in prayer. And that's the truth. That is really the truth. It's right here in this section of Scripture. I came straight out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. And he says, with thanksgiving, because, you know what? God doesn't always get rid of that bad situation. He doesn't always get rid of that person, that aggravation, that whatever it is that's driving us crazy. But you know what he does do? If we trust in Him and say, God, I can't handle this. God, I can't take this. God, I need You to help me in this tough situation, and just give it to Him in prayer, then you know what He'll do? He'll give you that peace that passes understanding. We'll talk about that in just a minute. He said, let your requests be made known to God. You give Him those requests and you thank Him. You thank Him why? Not because you always get what you ask for, but because He's going to give you what you need. And it maybe it's just being able to handle the situation you're going through. Because see, we don't know as we go through this situation who's watching us. Who's being affected by what we go through. Who's going to be saved. Who's going to grow. Who's going to be changed because of what we're going through. We don't know, and that's why we need to be thankful. To be rejoicing. And I'm not saying this is easy. This is a God thing, folks. This is only through God can you do this. Only by letting God just control you and take over your life and just giving Him everything and saying every day, God, you know, today's your day. Whatever happens today, I want you to be in control of everything. No matter what happens. And when something crazy happens or something good happens, something bad happens, I want to be able to thank you for it and just be thankful for life and what you're doing in my life. And when something bad happens, I want to be thankful for that too, right? And when the good stuff happens, be thankful for that. And so He says, let your request be made known to God. God knows everything, but that when you let Him know what's going on in your life, that shows that you're dependent on Him, that you need Him. He is the Heavenly Father. We need Him. And then He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You know, there's a peace. I mean, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and life abundantly, right? He said, I come that you might have peace. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Tribulation means to be caught between a rock and a hard spot, right? But He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus said, through Paul, I guess, Romans 8:18, that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we'll have in heaven. We're going to go through hard times. We're going to go through tough times. But we got somebody to go to. We got a Heavenly Father to pray to if we know Him as Lord and Savior. And He says that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I mean, when tough times come and people are looking at you and going, well, how come you're so calm? I mean, I remember when 9/11 happened and, you know, I don't know how y'all felt about it. I mean, I was kind of amazed and didn't know what to think, but I was kind of like, somebody says, are you scared? Are you worried? I said, no, I'm not really scared. I'm not really worried. Why? Because I had God. And they looked at me and said, you're not worried? You're not scared? What do I have to be worried about? What do I have to be scared about? You know, the worst thing that can happen to me, Paul said it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The worst thing that can happen to me is God can take me home to be with Him. That's real bad, isn't it? You know, we're like the little kid that was in the Sunday school class and they said, does anybody want to go to heaven? And the Sunday school teacher was trying to get them to know about the Lord, about trusting the Lord as Savior. And most of them raised their hands except for one little old boy. And finally he says, you don't want to go to heaven someday? And he said, oh, I thought you was getting a load up for today. You know, we want to go to heaven someday, just not today. We just need to remember that no matter what happens, the worst that can happen to us is we can be in heaven. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? And so it surpasses all understanding. People don't understand how you can be calm, how you can be at peace. And he says that this peace will guard your hearts and your minds. Your heart really speaks of your innermost being, your insides. I remember my cousins used to say to their daddy, this wasn't real nice, but they used to say, Daddy, when he'd get upset, they said, Daddy, don't get your bowels in an uproar. That's an old country saying, right? Now, you know what? That's exactly what happens. When we get upset, we get our bowels. You know what the old King James used to translate, and sometimes still in the New King James, it still translates it like that. Sometimes it translates that word heart, I love you, with the bowels of Christ. Now, what if you told your children or somebody that you love, I love you with the bowels of, I love you with all my bowels. And they go, huh? But that's what the old King James, that means with your whole being, your innermost being. When God said to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with the soul and the mind, He means you love Him with everything you got, with all your whole being. And so He says He'll guard your hearts. Remember I said, you know, everything inside got all knotted up? When you get all mad, you get all knotted up. What do they say, the doctors say today now, when you get all stressed and worried, what happens? It makes you sick. It messes your whole body up, right? Stress will kill you. And so we give it to God, and He will guard. That word guard is the word garrison. And Philippi was a city that was a Roman colony. And because it was a Roman colony, even though it was hundreds of miles from Rome, guess what? There was an army of Roman soldiers that encircled that city and protected it at all times. And you know what that means? God encircles us and He protects us at all times. He's got us surrounded and He's protecting us. He's guarding our hearts and our minds. Because what happens when you get stressed? I said your insides get all messed up. What happens up here? Your mind gets all messed up, right? And so He says, through Christ Jesus. This is only through Christ Jesus can this happen. You say, God, I can't handle it. I'm giving it to You. You take it and give it to Him. And then if you get worried about it again, you go back and you say, hey, God, I'm sorry. I took it back. Here it is again. I'm giving it back. And you keep doing that till you know, or sometimes you just have to just give it to Him. Sometimes we say we're giving it to Him. So, well, I gave it to Him, but you didn't. And I didn't. And I've been through situations. I remember one time about my job, and man, I just couldn't get rid of this feeling. Every time I thought about it, I just got that jolt, that in my whole insides. And I remember I went home and I was just eat up and nobody was there. It was just me. And I could still kind of outside myself see myself standing there. And that was actually the day that I wrote my first little mini sermon on a piece of paper about 5x8 or something that day. And I went home and I said, God, I'm giving You this thing that's bothering me. And I kind of wrote this little short message, and part of it had to do with, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to Me and I will do what? Give you rest. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Jesus said, come if you're weary. Come if you're heavy laden. He says, I'll give you rest. You don't need to take all this junk on your shoulders. You can't carry it. I can't carry it. But Jesus can carry it. He said, because My yoke. And that's what they put on the oxen, the horse, or whatever, when he's pulling something, right? He said, My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He says, you know, and some people, when they come to Christ, you know what the first thing they say? I feel like a load's been lifted off my shoulders. I feel like the whole world's just come off of me. But you know what? We can get burdened down even as Christians. But we got to say, here, God, this is Yours. You said You'd carry it. I'm weak and I'm weary. I'm heavy laden. You said You'd give me rest, so come and take it. And so let's go look on to verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, the problem is trouble, right? Worry. The prescription is prayer. The promise is peace. And then he says the next thing we do is we kind of change our minds. We get the old out and we replace it with something different, right? Because what do we get fed all day long on the news and everything else? You know what? I don't watch the news a whole lot. I got some people, they tell me they watch the news, or I look on Facebook and they all upset about the latest this, latest that, and all this junk. And I'm like, why don't you just quit watching it? You know, because all it does is make you mad. And people start talking about politics and stuff. And I say, you know, why don't we just change the subject right this minute? because all I'm going to do is get mad. And I don't want to do that. So let's just go ahead and change the subject. So it's the principle of displacement and replacement. See, what you do is you displace the old junk in your mind. That's what Paul said in the book of Romans. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By this. He says, finally, brethren, verse 8, whatever things are true. We know what that means. Just truth, right? Whatever things are noble. I mean, that means, used to be one of those old words, whatever's noble, it's respectful, it's worthy of respect. He says, whatever things are just, that just means right. Whatever things are pure, we know what pure means. It means to be clean. He says, whatever things are lovely. We know what lovely means. You see a beautiful flower or a beautiful mountain or something beautiful. He says, whatever things are of good report. What do they report in the news? 99.9% of it's just pure, hey, this bad thing happened, this bad thing happened, this bad thing happened, this bad thing happened, right? He says, if there's any virtue, anything is virtuous, that's lovely and beautiful and righteous. He says, if there's anything praiseworthy, if there's anything that you can think about that's worthy of praising, he says, meditate on these things. That means to think deeply about it, right? He says, these are the things you meditate on. You don't sit there and think about Wall Street and the politics and the, you know, all these bad things that are going on. You displace those and you replace those with whatever's pure and true and noble and righteous and just and lovely. You start thinking about good stuff. How do you do that? Well, maybe when you start thinking bad thoughts, you start praying. Maybe you get your Bible out. Maybe you listen to some preaching. Maybe you turn on the Christian radio station or find you a good Christian preacher on TV, or, you know, find you a good book that will clean your mind up and keep you off of thinking about all that junk. You occupy your mind with other things. You pray and ask God to help you fill your mind with thoughts that are good instead of bad thoughts, right? He said, meditate on these things. That means to think deeply about these things. Meditate is that word where the psalmist says he meditates on his word day and night. And it has to do, like with the cow, what's the cow do? He's got like three stomachs, right? What does he do? He chews it a while, he swallows it, and then he spits it back up. He chews it a while, he spits it back up. He chews it a while, he spits it back up. And he keeps going through that process. That's what he's talking about there, that we just keep meditating on. We think about it a while and let it digest a little bit. Then we think about it a little bit more and think about it a little bit more. And finally, you know, we've got a new mind. We got a transformed mind. And he says in verse 9, the things which you have learned and received, the things which you've learned and received, these are the things that you've got from Paul, right? And heard and saw in me. He says, you've learned some things from me. You've received some things from me. You've heard some things from me. And you saw the way I lived. He said, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, Paul was setting himself up as the human example. You know, a lot of us, we look at the Bible and we say, well, we can't measure up to Christ. No, we can't. We probably can't measure up to Paul either. But you know what? Jesus is the ultimate example, but Paul is the human example. There's a reason that God allowed him to write 13 out of the 27 books in the New Testament. Because he was probably the greatest man that was a New Testament saint. Probably ever has been. Because God allowed him to write 13 books. Peter was the man in the first 12 books, 12 chapters of the book of Acts. chapter 13 to 28, Paul took over, Paul dominated, Paul sets the example. And if you want to know how to get to the mountaintop, you know, you look up there and say, well, Jesus, how'd you get to the mountaintop? Jesus said, I've always been on the mountaintop because I'm God. But when you want to know how to get to the mountaintop and you want to find how to get up there, you read Paul, you read these other men, and you see how they did it. You see their example, what you received and heard and saw and learned from them. These do the things that Paul said he did. And the God of peace will be with you. You know, I heard a story about these crazy people. They climb the Alps. And these people like to climb these big mountaintops. And some of them live for weeks, you know, I don't know, a few thousand feet up, just so they can get acclimated, so they can go to the next level. And so many of them die, and I think they're absolutely crazy. I'm scared of heights. Get over about 10 feet, I start looking around for a way to come down. Get close to a rail, and I'm like, I don't want to get close to that, even though I know that railing's solid as a rock. You know what? These people do that for the thrill. But you know what? There's a sign up there on the Alps, and it said, where one man died, and there's a little old plaque, and it says, he died climbing. And that's what the Bible tells us to do, is just to keep climbing, keep following God, keep trusting Him more every day, keep allowing Him to soak up more and more in our mind, fill our minds with good godly things, so that that's what comes out of us. If you put junk on your computer or put junk in a notebook, and maybe you like to journal or write or, you know, whatever you do, if you put that junk in your mind, what comes out? Junk. Garbage in, garbage out. That was a term they coined years ago. I don't know if it came back with the computers. But it's the same thing. If you put good stuff in, what's going to happen? Good stuff's going to come out, right? And so that's what Paul says. Don't feed on the junk of the world. Don't let the junk of the world conform you to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the peace that passes all understanding, if you give this stuff to God, is going to guard your hearts and your minds. I guess it's sort of like the old song used to say, but we can't say it that way. Don't worry, be happy. Old crazy song. But you know what? We can say, don't worry, be joyful. Don't worry, be joyful. Because it's all right, because God's still on the throne. He hadn't left, and He knows everything that's going on. He hasn't left us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Hebrews 13:5, the writer of Hebrews said, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Just remember, He'll be with you when you pass through the waters. He didn't say get you out of the waters. He didn't get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire, but He was in the fire with them. He didn't get Joseph out of the prison, but He was in the prison with him. He didn't get David out of running from Saul for however many years, but he was with him there. He didn't get Moses out of the desert, but He was with Moses in the desert. And you just name people after people after people. He was with Peter in the prison. He was with Paul in the prison. He was with all these other guys. And He's here with us today. So, give everything to God in prayer. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for who You are today. And we just ask that we would have that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, as human beings, we're not perfect. And sometimes we do worry. But Lord, I pray that You would help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we know if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, as the old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the glories of His wonder and grace. Father, we love You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's sing one more song. How about number 15? There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God.
I'm the child without no home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved, be loved to me.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.